Welcome to the Sundial Writers' Corner. I'm Dory Nutt, one of the producers of this program. Today, John Davis reminds us that some good can come from evil.
Adolf Hitler paid to send my wife Jane to get her advanced degree at Spring Hill College in Mobile, Alabama. Here's how that remarkable event happened. In 1945, America feared a desperate, fanatical last stand by Nazis in their mountain redoubt in Berchtesgaden, Bavaria. From his chalet there, titled the Berghof, Hitler directed his Nazi party for years. But now the Nazi Führer was dead by his own hand in Berlin. German military forces were in chaotic, total disarray. German soldiers scattered, leaving their units. They feared the worst from the relentless Slavic armies pressing in from the east and the Anglo-Saxons driving hell-bent from the west. Random, if nonetheless dangerous, armed German soldiers still wandered the tracks and villages near Berchtesgaden. The 101st Airborne Division's 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment was sent there to secure this dangerous zone. What the Americans found was a tense quiet. Only now and again was the stillness punctuated by distant shots heard through the dense pine forest beyond their bivouac billets, once used by Hermann Göring's airmen. Jane's dad, Duane L. Tedrick, by then a buck sergeant, veteran of the parachute jumps into Normandy and Market Garden, then the Battle of the Bulge, was called to his commander's office. Tedrick was to go with a fluent, Oxford English-speaking German major, a loudspeaker, one army buddy, and a reluctant pack mule into the forest. Along the lonely valley trails, they were told to proclaim, via loudspeaker into the woods above, that the war was over. "And tell them all to come out of the hills and drop their weapons," added his company commander. "Then what?" the two startled soldiers asked. He said, "Have them walk down the trail towards town and go to the big prison pen at the crossroads. The gate of the camp will be open." Looking at each other, the soldiers, who'd fought since D-Day, asked with concern, "What if they don't want to?" "Tell the German major to tell them a huge feast is ready for them in the POW cage. Those guys are all starving up there." Armed with this reassurance, although not reassured, the men departed. Slowly, the reluctant mule, loudspeaker on his back, and his unusual cadre of German major and two worried GIs moved along the path. "The war is over. Come down to the road. I am a German officer. Throw down your weapons," was repeated mantra-like over and over. And in time, their boots stamping on pine needles, the German soldiers approached. First, a tentative few came down from the dark uphill reaches. These struck up immediate, animated conversations with the uniformed German officer. A couple of these left almost immediately, heading for the prison field, no longer visible back down the road towards town. Soon others in fives and ten, then dozens came. Some surrendered German soldiers joined their comrades and called out, along with the major, to encourage those still above to come down and give up. The road at one point was filled with over 200 German soldiers, gesticulating, arguing, smiling, even laughing. Over to the side, virtually ignored, were the two dumbfounded, marveling paratroopers. Not just German enlisted soldiers, but higher-ranking officers, both Wehrmacht and SS, descended. They all started to throw their pistols, rifles, and medals into a creek which ran along the trail. After some 5 hours calling up into the hills, the German major and his American escort stopped. They seemed to have reached the end of the collection for the day. "How do you think they were handled when they got back to the prison?" Jane's dad wondered aloud to his army friend. Surprisingly, it was the German officer who commented, "There is no lock on the fence. They go in and are greeted by German officers who are in charge. They are pointed immediately to the tables of food, just so they don't change their mind. The war is over, and they are all hungry, very hungry." And so ended the war in Germany for this little band. As they walked back, having rounded up no less than some 250 prisoners, the enterprising GIs hit upon an idea. Why not gather up the pistols, medals, and other portable, tradable militaria tossed away by the now departed Germans? So, the entire way back, they collected dozens upon dozens of Nazi-manufactured items and paraphernalia of a lost war. These they recovered from the rushing Alpine Creek by the side of that road. Even the German major joined in with gusto. Years later, Jane's dad told me that story. He also said it would be good to do something with all the medals he kept from those days. Then came the day that he, like all soldiers before him, gave his final salute. His daughter, my wife Jane, found the box filled with German honors and swastika-bearing medals. What to do, since she wanted none of those Nazi things in our house, knowing the shame that party brought on her ancestral country? She took seriously her Christian belief over against the cult worship of Hitler. She believed no race superior to others, which the Nazis proclaimed. So, I sold the artifacts. We felt that something good should be done with the money, to turn swords into plowshares, so to speak. Remarkably, the money raised by these medals was sufficient to pay for my wife's Master of Theological Studies degree through Spring Hill College, Mobile, Alabama. Hitler's varied recognitions and medals for these, his soldiers, served a good cause in the end. I'm sure Jane's dad, his army buddy, the German major, and even some disaffected mule are smiling somewhere.
Sundial contributor John Davis lives in Athens, Alabama, and has completed a second book called Around the Corner, detailing his time as a linguist, liaison, and counterintelligence investigator. He emphasizes he was not a spy, but a spy catcher. You can hear John's story in all the past episodes of Sundial at WLRH.org. Just click Sundial under the Programs tab. You can hear a new episode of Sundial every Monday morning at 9 o'clock right here on 89.3 Huntsville Public Radio.